I'm Diosa.
And I'm Mala.
We're the creators of Locatora Radio, a radiophonic novela, which is a fancy way of saying
a podcast. Welcome to Locatora Radio Season 9.
Love at first listen.
This season, we're falling in love with podcasting all over again.
With new segments, correspondence, and a new sound.
Listen to Locatora Radio as part of the Michael Dura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
More Than a Movie is back with Season 2. I'm your host, Alex Fumero. And each week, I'm going to talk to the people behind your favorite movies. From The Godfather, Andy Garcia.
He has the smarts of Vito, the temper of Sonny, the warmth of Fredo, and the coldness of Michael.
To the legend behind La Bamba, Lou Diamond Phillips.
When I walked in, I didn't think I had a shot at Richie because John Stamos's picture was already up on the wall.
Listen to More Than a Movie on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, I'm Michael Rappaport.
And I'm Kibi Rappaport.
And together we're hosting Rappaport's Reality Podcast.
We have a passion for reality TV, and we're inviting you into our living room.
We're dissecting the drama, and we're giving praise to the single greatest form of entertainment on television today. That is right. Reality TV is the greatest form of entertainment on television today. Listen to Rappaport's Reality starting May 8th on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts.
KFI AM 640. You're listening to the John and Ken Show on demand on the iHeartRadio app.
I can understand management could let me in for a day. Anybody can do that. But this one is totally on them because I was here for 3 hours. They got to hear it and they let me back in. Happy to be here. Happy to be working with my old pal, Deborah Mark.
So good to see you, Mr. McIntyre.
It's amazing. Being in this building, because I kicked around radio for so long, there's so many people in this building who I worked with in my past life, including you. We were together for what, a year and a half, 2 years?
Yeah, I was on your show for a year, and then I was doing middays for a while. Uh-huh. Yeah.
So all under the same roof again. By the way, there were some things missing over there when you left.
Oh, shoot.
Oh, okay.
Really,
yeah. Well, we'll talk about that afterwards.
Please don't.
Anyway, we got lots of stuff to get into today. We're here until 4 o'clock when Timmy comes along. And later on, we're going to talk about Narcan in stores and schools. Why don't people fly the American flag? It's the 4th of July weekend. And, of course, Supreme Court decisions. President Biden is speaking right now about the Supreme Court's last decisions that came out this morning. About affecting gays and also other big rulings. So we're going to get into all of that later on in the show. But it is the 4th of July weekend, and this is the peak of the summer travel season, which means a lot of you are heading to the airports and then going to have to come back, and that means that you're going through hell. United Airlines was the latest airline that had been hit badly with weather delays and all kinds of problems. I got caught in this last week flying back from Newark Airport. And 8.5 hours from Newark to Los Angeles, not a lot of fun. But it looks like it's getting a little better. To tell us about that, ABC News correspondent, welcome back, Alex Stone.
8.5 hours. What did you do? Did you go to, like, Tulsa first and sit there for a while?
We sat on, I'm trying not to, you know, I don't know if they're sponsors, so I don't want to throw them under the bus. But it's a big yellow plane, famous for being cheap, as apparently I am.
Here, I'll do it. Spirit. Okay,
yeah,
go on.
There we go. That's a Spirit. So I'm jammed into it's supposed to be a 7 o'clock departure, 6 hours to L.A. They put us on the plane. There's no pilots. We sat for 2.5 hours on the plane.
Yeah, that's the problem. No pilots.
And then the 6-hour flight to L.A. And here's the kicker, because it's Spirit Airlines. They felt very bad about this, so they made it up to us, and I'm not kidding. This is what they said. Because of your patience, we're going to give you a free cup of water and a cookie.
Is that really what they did?
Yes. They came around, and they didn't give you the bottle of water. They just filled it up out of the, you know, the discount Poland Springs or Sparklets bottle and handed you a plastic.
Do you have to pay for water on board?
You have to pay for air. The seatbelts are coin-operated.
They didn't say, anybody know how to pilot a A320 on board this plane right now?
About 40 minutes in, one guy volunteered.
Yeah. I'm doing Microsoft Flight Simulator. I can do it.
Yeah.
Yeah, things look relatively good today compared to earlier in this week when everything fell apart for United. But United's still having a rough go of it. Of the around 370 flights canceled today, which that is pretty good compared to some getaway days. It's 1,200, 2,000, 3,000. But of the 370, 230 of those are United. So United is still dealing with this. It is a week of problems in Newark, Chicago, and now in Denver today of thunderstorms. Those are all big United hubs, and they've been every afternoon taking it somewhere, and they can't get a break. This woman's stuck at the airport.
It's been kind of hectic. We've been stuck at the airport for quite some time. A lot of canceled flights. Everything's going bad. We're getting put in hotels, so we try to make it out of here.
They're trying to make it out of there, but that's tough to do because United canceled so many flights earlier this week that now all of those passengers are trying to get out on new flights. But the flights that are flying today, they're already full. People already booked those seats for the 4th of July weekend. So where do you put the tens of thousands? The CEO of United said just in Newark on Sunday and Monday, they impacted 150,000 people who had flights canceled. So just Newark in 2 days, not to mention Chicago and Denver over many days, 150,000 people, if flights are already full, where do you put them? So, and then it rolls downhill as well. LAX is a big United hub. There are big crowds trying to figure out where they're going to go. There's baggage piled up all over the place. And you get people like this. She's been stuck at LAX since Tuesday.
Absolutely horrific. So I got canceled Tuesday, stayed in a hotel. I stood in line for 4 hours at 4 o'clock in the morning to rebook the flight. I was supposed to leave on Delta Airlines today. They never reserved our seats. So we had a ticket number, but we had no seats on that plane. So now we have to go back to a hotel and wait till Saturday to fly out through United again.
So Tuesday, now they're telling her Saturday. What if they show up tomorrow and they say, well, we still don't have anything for you? And because it is weather related, airlines don't have to give you food, a food voucher. They don't have to give you a hotel room. I mean, they would go bankrupt if they did have to do that. You think of hundreds of thousands of people who have been impacted, different than if it is operational problems with one's weather and so many people are feeling the impact. They can't pay for a hotel room for everybody. They can't feed everybody. So you've got a lot of people who are living in the terminals, concourses at big United airports, whether it be LAX or Denver or Chicago or Newark or Houston, on their own dime, paying for food if they want to get a hotel room. The hotels around some of the delayed and canceled airports of Denver, Chicago, and Newark, there's nothing available. So people have families, they've got nowhere to go, and they're just trying to get on a flight. One more for you, she says this.
Customer service, there's a 7-hour wait in the customer service line. People had been sitting there for days.
Sitting there for days, just trying to, you know, they tell you to go on the app now, but the app doesn't have any answers.
Yeah, well, here's the thing,
it's
Alex.
It's a mess.
Alex, it is, obviously they're not responsible for the weather, but this became a corporate policy about 15 years ago, around 2007, 2008, 2009, I forget. There was a big blizzard in the East Coast around Christmas. We were caught in it. We ended up driving home, the four of us, packed into a rented car and drove from Westchester County to L.A. in about a day, 2 days. With four licensed drivers. And the reason we did that was we were on JetBlue at the time. They could not get us back for 10 days. We tried booking from Columbus, Ohio, when we would drive to Columbus, Ohio. And after that blizzard, the airlines learned to reposition aircraft in the event of oncoming storms. And that, you know, keeps the planes from being snowed in or stormed in someplace. But then the crews have to be dispatched. So they've got the data has, they've been able to crunch the data to know how many seats will be sold, which gives them no wiggle room when something like this happens. They can't put people on the planes that are already sold out. If you've been bumped on Monday, the Tuesday flights are also packed already, even if they're green and go. So there's a policy that they, in order to maximize their profits, that doesn't allow them to respond to crisis. And the transportation department, Pete Buttigieg, keeps going on TV every time one of these happens, hand-wringing, and they don't do anything.
Yeah, and historically, we've seen some airlines that say, okay, we're going to fly bigger planes then. You know, instead of going on a 737, they're going to go a 777 between these two routes to get everybody out all at one time. We haven't seen United doing that yet. They don't necessarily have the aircraft to do that because this is a busy time, that this may be the busiest travel weekend, they're saying maybe even on record, but at least since before the pandemic. So there's not a lot of excess aircraft, excess pilots to do that. They say they're moving people around. But then you've got this fight going on between United and the FAA in that United is saying that this is a air traffic control failure. that the storms that they had in Newark on Sunday and Monday, that historically they would have had no problems with, they reduced arrivals by 75%. The CEO of United is saying they just completely failed, that this is not enough air traffic controllers, that those that are on duty are inexperienced. Right. The FAA is saying, bull, that's not what it is. This is weather, and when it's weather, it's going to be bad. United's not buying that. They're saying, no, the FAA messed up.
All right, Alex, have a great 4th of July. Thanks for being with us. Appreciate it. When we come back, we're going to give you a chance to win some money. And proudly, she waves no more. It's the 4th of July, and people are reluctant to fly the American flag. How did that happen? We'll get into all that more.
You're listening to John and Ken on demand from KFI AM 640.
This, of course, is KFI AM 640 live everywhere on the iHeartRadio app. And we got a lot to talk about coming up, including the death of the great Alan Arkin later on in the program. But we want to give you a chance to win some money.
Now, your chance to win $1,000. Just enter this nationwide keyword on our website. Pay. That's pay, P-A-Y. Enter it now at KFIAM640.com/cash. Powered by Sweet James Accident Attorneys. If you're hurt in an accident, winning is everything. Call the winning attorneys at Sweet James. 1-800-9-MILLION. That's 1-800-9-MILLION or SweetJames.com.
Make sure you go to KFIAM640.com/cash. That's where you need to enter the keyword, which is pay. And you need to go to the website. Winners will be notified by email, so make sure to check your junk spam folder to see if you won. And listen to KFI AM 640 for the winning keyword every hour, every weekday from 9:20 a.m. with Gary and Shannon all the way up to 5:20 with Timmy. And the next opportunity to win will be with us right here at 2:20 this afternoon. So good luck. Hope you'll grab that cash. All right, I'm a 4th of July junkie. I like the whole thing. I like the barbecues. I like the fireworks. I know that fireworks, people are down on the fireworks now because you own dogs. I got cats. They don't care. In fact, I caught one of my cats throwing cherry bombs. I mean, it was wrong, and I corrected him. But I totally dig the 4th of July. I like the history of it because I'm an American history junkie. By the way, the founding fathers thought that July 2nd would be the big holiday because that's the day that the Continental Congress voted for independence. The July 4th was when they started writing it down, Declaration of Independence, etc. But nonetheless, the 4th of July, it's the summer break and it's a day for fun. You go to the beach, you go to a ball game, barbecues, all that good stuff. And it was a day to kind of celebrate America. It's America's birthday. But I noticed over the last couple of years, really it's been many years this has been coming, but it's jumped the shark now, that people, it's like only half the country is flying the flag. The American flag is supposed to be the symbol for the whole country, for all the people of all races, creeds, and colors, all political stripes. And yet, slowly over time, it has become, and I hate saying this out loud, but it's kind of become a conservative or a right-wing emblem. At least this has been my experience. The first thing I did when I moved into my house was I got a post-hole digger and I put a flag in the front yard. I put up a flagpole. I fly the flag every day. It's lit at night. And I just do it. It's not a political statement. It's a celebration. It's really an act of gratitude for a country that I believe has been a blessing to the world and certainly in my life. But I asked my friends who don't fly the flag. And by the way, our house is the only house on the block that flies the flag ever on any holiday. And I've talked to a lot of my friends, especially on the left, about why they don't fly the flag. And I have been told this repeatedly. So it's not scientific, but it's pretty insightful. They don't want to fly the flag because they don't want people to think they voted for Trump. I've heard it again and again and again. I'm not making it up. It may not be, 100% across the board. Now, how could this have happened? Well, going back to the 1960s when everything became really, really political as well, there were bumper stickers that said these colors don't run with the American flag. And it kind of became like if you supported the Vietnam War, you were a flag waver. And that got entrenched, I believe, into the culture where people who were opposed to the Vietnam War reacted negatively to that statement of these colors don't run and my country, love it or leave it. And patriotism became a sort of a warmongering slash far right opinion. But here's the problem with this. If the left abandons the flag, if liberals won't fly the flag, then it does become a right-wing symbol. And that's a crime. That's really a shame, because it can't be. We have to have, we're a nation of multiple time zones with a third of a billion people. We have to have some kind of connective tissue that holds us together, something to rally around. And I am curious whether or not you are one of the people who don't fly the flag, and if you'd be willing to tell us why. The number here is 800-520-1KFI. That's 800-520-1KFI or 1-800-520-1534. And give us a call. This isn't argumentative. I am genuinely curious as to why you choose not to fly the flag. For some people, they don't want their house vandalized. For other people, they're mad at the country. And by the way, everybody is mad at the country. That is not that is not a one-party problem. The left is mad at the country. And trust me, listen to the rhetoric of Donald Trump and a lot of his supporters. They hate the country right now. They're mad at the country. They think the country's on the road to ruin, and they blame half the people of the country, who their neighbors, their citizens, their pharmacists, if he voted for Biden or any of those people. Everybody's mad at the country. So there's a lot of folks who are unwilling to fly the flag. But on this, the 4th of July, the high secular holy day on the American calendar, a day that is genuinely an epic in history. And I can't emphasize that enough. This isn't like some kind of revisionist, you know, hooey from the 1950s. Objectively, if you look at the facts of history, of world history, the events that led up to and followed from the Declaration of Independence in 1776 were a landmark, changing the concept of being a subject of a king to a citizen of a country. It's a whole different dynamic to be a citizen as opposed to a subject. And that was a radical notion. And I kind of get the feeling that we've lost appreciation for it. Anyway, 800-520-1KFI is the number. Give us a call. We'll take some calls on the other side of the break.
More Than a Movie is back with season two of the award-winning film podcast. And this time, with a lot more movies. I'm your host, Alex Fumero, and each week I'm going to talk to the people behind some of my favorite movies. From The Godfather, Andy Garcia.
He has the smarts of Vito, the temper of Sonny, the warmth of Fredo, and the coldness of Michael.
To the OG spy kid, Alexa Penavega.
You had Carla Gugino, who's the coolest mom ever. You had Antonio, who's handsome, amazing, charismatic. And then Carmen and Juni. I felt like a lot of other kids felt like this could be me.
To the legend behind La Bamba, Lou Diamond Phillips.
When I walked in, I didn't think I had a shot at Richie because John Stamos's picture was already up on the wall.
Every episode will feature interviews with the biggest actors, directors, writers, and producers behind your favorite films and tap into the history of Latinos in film. Listen to More Than a Movie as part of the My Cultura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, I'm Michael Rappaport.
And I'm Kibi Rappaport.
And together we're hosting Rappaport's Reality Podcast.
We have a passion for reality TV, and we're inviting you into our living room.
We're talking tea, we're dissecting the drama, and we're giving praise to the single greatest form of entertainment on television today. That is right. Reality TV is the greatest form of entertainment on television today.
Here are some examples of what you'll hear from us on Rappaport's Reality Podcast.
This is where we discuss all things reality TV, all things popular culture.
And a little bit of Rappaport's reality, the reality of us.
We're figuring out. And if we had been recording these last 4 or 5 days, it would have
been
the podcast would have taken a left turn. Listen to Rappaport's Reality with me, Michael Rappaport, and my wife, Kibi Rappaport, starting May 8th on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts.
You're listening to John and Ken on demand from KFI AM 640.
Coming up, pickleball. We're going to talk about that. But first, I want to follow up and take a couple of calls. It has been my experience as a person who flies the American flag on a daily basis that fewer and fewer Americans are willing to put the flag up. And there's a cleave along political lines that conservatives will fly the flag. And that's not the reason I'm flying it, by the way. I fly it just as a lover of American history and as a token of gratitude to the country That means a lot to me. But a lot of people feel that it's a political symbol now of the right. And specifically, I have been told this by repeatedly by friends that they don't want to fly the flag because they don't want their neighbors to think that they voted for Trump. So let's talk about that. Let's get a couple of calls. Mark, welcome aboard.
Yes, I'm here. Yeah, I feel the same as your neighbors. And you know what? You made a great point that it's a shame that it's that way. You know, that symbol should represent all of us. So how do we get it back to just that, that that flag represents all of us regardless of our
the answer to me is obvious, which is fly the flag. If you don't want it to be just a right-wing symbol or a conservative symbol, you have to fly the flag yourself and reclaim it. But I've had this conversation with friends, and they don't, even after walking through the steps of what seems to me to be the obvious answer, they don't want to do it. They just don't want to fly the flag. Yeah. And that's a problem. Mark, thank you for the call. Appreciate it. Let's go say hello to Carmen. Carmen has a different reason. Carmen, welcome aboard. Welcome to KFI.
Hey, Doug. Yeah, I'm not really leaning towards any political party. Mine is about my ethnicity, my culture. I'm a Black woman. In 1776, my people weren't free. So it's not a flag that includes everybody that was here. Our freedom came 100 years later, and every star that's been added to that flag wasn't representative of everybody in this country. California was admitted to the Union as a free state because they didn't want slaves here, not because they wanted equality. So I just wanted to offer that perspective.
Well, I've heard that too. I've heard that from many people of color. And what's interesting about it is this seems to be something that has crept in relatively recently, because Frederick Douglass flew the flag, MLK did, so did Jackie Robinson. What I find fascinating about this is that there seems to be more anger about it of late than there was. Look, I assume I'm older than you, and I remember my history classes when I was a little kid had very little African-American history, and that's just the way it was. There's so much more included, and so much history has happened in the last 50 years that's really profoundly changed America for the better. But I hear it from people in your generation.
Yeah, it's not so much of a new thing, but maybe a new way of affirming what you felt, a new way of expressing it. And I would agree that it is symbolic of a lot of right-wing political point of views. And it has become offensive, even racially discriminatory in ways. It's almost like the Confederate flag flying around here. Now everybody can fly it instead of just the people in the South. I don't think that's everybody, though, and I do have pride in my country. I just wish we could have an honest conversation about where we were in 1776.
Let me see if this makes sense to you, because I'm not sure it makes sense to me, but it's a thought that pinged in my head. There are many people in the Black community they use the N-word freely in both music and in comedy, etc., and they claim it as this way we take the power of the word back. By using it themselves, it's been explained to me. I just don't use the word, and I grew up in a house, I'm proud to say, where it was absolutely verboten. But I understand the logic that people say by using the N-word, they rob it of its power. And to me, I kind of analogize that to flying the American flag, that if you don't want the American flag to represent just one political ideology, the only way to do that is for everybody to fly it.
Well, if everybody flies it without this political discernment, having to say whether you're right or left leaning, then we should all fly it. But when we use it as a way to express our personal opinions, like those Trump supporters or those white supremacists that just believe America is great and will be great again. Not saying this is all of America. There, of course, are so many people of different cultures that take pride in our country, and I'm one of them.
Well,
but it's
great. It's great, Carmen. I would just say it starts with you. It starts with everybody. Everybody who has pride in country and wants to reclaim the flag has to fly it. Thanks for the call. Appreciate it. Let's go to Dustin real quick. Dustin, you have a different reason you don't fly it.
Yes, I do. So real quick, quickly before. It's not a political anything. We are immigrants. I'm an immigrant. We came here in the 80s. We're so grateful to this country. It has taken care of us, accepted us, regardless, you know, of our background, our country that we came from. So that's why I love the flag. I fly it. But I came from a, you know, a more of an upscale neighborhood. I used to fly it with no problem. Then we had to, because of financial reasons, move to a more a working class neighborhood. And that's where the problem started. I had a flag on my window, and there was a camera in the window pointing outside, and I could see people just flipping it off. And one day, the 12 blocks through it, I took it down. In the parking lot, I had a bumper sticker with the American flag, and it was scratched off, damaging the bumper. So I, at this point, I'm afraid to fly it, so I don't fly it anymore.
Yeah, I understand that. That's what it's come to. Thank you for the call. I appreciate it, Dustin. It's ironic, isn't it, that the symbol of the country has become a polarizing symbol as opposed to a unifying symbol. And that is a profound cultural shift. But the remedy is at hand. Just fly the flag. Fly the flag. And by the way, you know, it's probably better not to have a jock strap that's an American flag. It's probably better not to have, you know, the G-string bikini. Not that I'm opposed to G-string bikini. Well, I guess it depends on who's wearing it. But, like when John Cobalt was wearing his... No, okay.
Yeah, right. We don't want to talk about that.
That was a Christmas party. There were drinks. All right, let's go get some pickleball coming up in just a second.
You're listening to John and Ken on demand from KFI AM 640.
We're here till 4 o'clock. Coming up in the next hour, Royal Oak's going to join us. Supreme Court, a couple of other big decisions. The Supreme Court just said no to Joe and his college loan plan, as well as a big gay rights ruling. So we're going to get into all of that and so much more. Death of Alan Arkin and lots of things to talk about. So, by the way, I want to invite you. I've got a new book coming out, my first book. I'm very proud of it. It's called Frank's Shadow. It's a novel. And come on out at Barnes & Noble at the Grove Farmers Market, that big Barnes & Noble right in the middle of the city on July 16th. On the 22nd, I'll be at Gatsby's in Long Beach. Pages, a bookstore in Manhattan Beach on July 26th. The other Barnes & Noble down there in Irvine at the Spectrum on August 2nd and at Vroman's in Pasadena on August 9th. And you can go to KFI.com where you can get the whole list of places that I will be with my book. It's called Frank's Shadow, and we appreciate you coming out. All right, so I play senior softball. That's the official name. We call it old man softball.
Is it beer league?
It's not beer league.
Oh.
I know. Afterwards. I did have a player on my team once that I'd buy little mini bottles of Jack Daniels. And when I was coaching third, he could have a bottle every time he passed me going home. I'd hand it to him like a relay. It was very effective.
Awesome.
Yeah, he scored 5 times one game. We had to drive him home.
I bet.
So it's creaky old man softball. And I love it. And it's pretty much what I do now. But this sport that's taking off in America is pickleball.
I play pickleball. I did.
Okay.
I got injured.
Oh, yeah, everybody gets injured. By the way, everybody in senior softball is broken. We're all off warranty. The expiration date's gone. We're like that peach that rolled into the back of the refrigerator.
I'm not as old as you, Doug.
Nobody is anymore. But we play this game, and the pickleball now has shot to the top. This is another... This is Fauci's fault, too, because it's a pandemic thing. It went crazy in the pandemic, like making sourdough bread, bringing houseplants into the house, learning a language. By the way, I want to point out, during the pandemic, I didn't improve at all. I learned no new skills. In fact, I lost a few. But anyway, pickleball has a problem. And the problem is it's loud. It's really loud. Have you ever heard it?
Yeah.
Listen to it. As part of my old man softball life, I've been involved with the LA Department of Parks and Recs. We were dealing with field conditions and things like that. And I'd listen at some of these Parks Commission meetings to the people lobbying for or against pickleball courts. Now, the people who want to play pickleball want the courts everywhere. The people who live near parks don't want them anywhere. They'd rather live next to a leaf blower factory.
Oh, God.
Because they hear that noise all day long. And if the pickleball courts have lights, they hear it all night long. Walter Reed Community Center. A woman named Mary McKee in Arlington, Virginia, says that the pickleball court is 100 yards from her house. I thought maybe I could live with it. Maybe it would fade into the background. But it never ends. It's torture, says Clint Ellis, a 37-year-old who lives across the street from a private club in York, Maine. Living here is hell, said Debbie Nagel, whose gated community in Scottsdale, Arizona, installed courts a few years ago. Bob Utrick, a retired engineer and avid pickleball player, he's become one of the foremost authorities on muffling the game. And he started a company called Pickleball Sound Mitigation. This is, by the way, is the definitive first world problem. Other people are trying to figure out how not to get killed by Russian, you know, missiles. And these guys are working on pickleball mitigation. But anyway, he says, you can hear the wax 100 feet away. They could reach decibel levels of dBA of 70, which a vacuum cleaner makes that much noise. And here is maybe my favorite quote of all. One of our neighbors who lived directly across from the courts and was dying from cancer, noted the pickleball noise, was worse than the cancer, said Dan Lavery of West Lynn. Worse than cancer! I'd rather have cancer than the pickleball courts. But this is actually a real issue, because the Parks and Recs people have to plan for, you know, things come in, you know, skateboarding 30 years ago, 40 years ago, nobody cared about skateboarding, right? It was a board with some roller skate wheels on it. Now, skateboarding's huge. It's X Games. It's a television event. So the skateboard parks are all over the place. And by the way, people complained about that. Well, let me back up. People complain about everything, all right? People would complain about a guy reading. You know, people have the ability to get upset about everything, but I've heard this game played, and I can't imagine if I lived near one of these places, egg prices would go even higher because I'd be buying them by the tractor trailer load, flinging them at the pickleball courts, which I'm not encouraging. I'm just saying. But the pickleball gets louder and louder and louder. And the parks people are trying to mollify the pickleball people, but at the same time try to figure out where can we put this that won't irritate the neighbors. Because that these public hearings, you gotta, if you've never actually gone to or watched online a Los Angeles Department of Parks and Recreation public hearing where they allow the public like 30 seconds to get it off their chest, it's wildly entertaining. It's still a lot of the pony people. It's the pony people who either want to make sure that the ponies never go back to Griffith Park or get the ponies back as fast as possible. I personally am in favor of letting the ponies play pickleball.
Oh, no.
I think we just get them all in the same, we just lump them all together and we'll get this over with once and for all. But the parks people have to wrestle with this because it's a hot sport. It's growing. It's got a professional league. Now, in fact, the great NBA Hall of Famer, one of the greatest players ever, Rick Barry, is like the senior champion at pickleball. But he's the champion in everything he does. But now he's a pickleball player, and he's pimping pickleball, you know, any chance he gets to get people out there playing. And, you know, there's a nude pickleball league in Palm Springs.
I would not want to be a part of that, nor would I want to watch that. No.
It seems like the worst idea in the world. The only, and I haven't seen it. I've only heard about it. But here's the one thing, at least from a guy's perspective. If you're playing nude pickleball, you don't have to worry about flies swirling around you. Okay. That's all I'm going to say. All right? I didn't want to paint too graphic an image there. But
I got the image.
All right. Okay. All right. Oh, my God. It's so silly. But this is what we're dealing with in modern America. So the parks, the Los Angeles, and everybody, it's not just L.A., it's every place people want to play the sport. But if your homeowners association or if a public park near you and you see a public notice that says that pickleball is coming, I'm telling you, you better get down to one of those public affairs meetings and make sure your voice is heard, because otherwise the only thing you're going to hear, when 7:57. Let's go get some news. Here's Deborah Mark.
Hey, you've been listening to the John and Ken Show. You can always hear us live on KFI AM 640, 1 p.m. to 4 p.m. every Monday through Friday, and of course, anytime on demand on the iHeartRadio app.
I'm Diosa.
And I'm Mala.
We are the creators of Locatora Radio, a radiophonic novela, which is a fancy way of saying
a podcast. Welcome to Locatora Radio Season 9.
Love at first listen.
This season, we're falling in love with podcasting all over again.
With new segments, correspondence, and a new sound.
Listen to Locatora Radio as part of the Michael Dura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
More Than a Movie is back with Season 2. I'm your host, Alex Fumero. And each week, I'm going to talk to the people behind your favorite movies. From The Godfather, Andy Garcia.
He has the smarts of Vito, the temper of Sonny, the warmth of Fredo, and the coldness of Michael.
To the legend behind La Bamba, Lou Diamond Phillips.
When I walked in, I didn't think I had a shot at Richie because John Stamos's picture was already up on the wall.
Listen to More Than a Movie on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, I'm Michael Rappaport.
And I'm Kibi Rappaport.
And together we're hosting Rappaport's Reality Podcast.
We have a passion for reality TV, and we're inviting you into our living room.
We're dissecting the drama, and we're giving praise to the single greatest form of entertainment on television today. That is right. Reality TV is the greatest form of entertainment on television today. Listen to Rappaport's Reality starting May 8th on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts.